So let me ask you a question. What are you most afraid of? Would you say spiders, snakes, the dark, confined spaces? Did anyone say hell? What is hell, right? It's eternal separation from Christ. It is eternal damnation among the demons. Anybody afraid of that? Or are you like, that's not really what's going to happen. No one goes to hell. Or I'm saved. I don't need to worry about hell. Or even better yet, you know, hell doesn't exist. Nobody's in hell. Catholicism is just the privileged way. Whatever you heard, let's be really careful to focus on what Jesus Christ says and not what other people who may not be channeling divinity properly are saying.
Welcome to What Laura Likes, the podcast that helps you pursue the narrow path. Here you can find content regarding Catholicism, both for those new to the faith, as well as those of you looking to go deeper. You will also find content on the vocation of marriage, including motherhood and homeschooling. This audio is taken from a previously published YouTube video that was either highly popular or I thought would translate well to audio. If you'd like to see the video for this and other episodes, you can head to my YouTube channel, What Laura Likes. If you'd like to see the video for this and other episodes, you can head to my YouTube channel, What Laura Likes. Please be sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave a review if it adds value to your life. Also, consider supporting this podcast on Patreon to help it continue. You can find out more about me or contact me by heading to my website, whatlauralikes.com, or following me on Instagram at whatlauralikes18. Enjoy the show.
So why doesn't anyone say hell? Most people on the street, you ask them what they're afraid of, no one's going to say hell. They're all going to mention something corporal, something temporal. It's because hell has become this taboo subject. Now, for the church, I would argue that after Vatican II, when we were trying to bring people into the church, supposedly to build up our community, but in effect, it's done the opposite. We just don't talk about hell anymore. We talk about Jesus being warm and fuzzy and kind and loving, and he certainly is that. But God is mercy and justice, and he's given us our marching orders. The Bible is very, very clear that hell exists, that lots of people go there, and I don't know about you, but that is my biggest fear. I do not want to spend eternity away from God. He knows that. He knows my heart. It still requires me every day to choose that narrow path. Let's talk about the gospel that was read this past Sunday, because that is what inspired this video. He was talking about the sower sowing the good seed and then the enemy coming in and sowing the weeds. So Jesus says in Matthew 13, "Let them grow together until harvest. Then at harvest time, I will say to the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles for burning, but gather the wheat into my barn." Now, further on in Matthew 13, he explains to his disciples what this means. He says, "I am the sower. The children of God are this good seed. And the evil one, Satan, has spread his children of evil amongst us." At harvest time, at the second coming of Jesus Christ, at our final judgment, the angels of God will come and they will gather up all those who are wicked, who are children of Satan, who are evildoers and those who cause other people to sin. And they will be gathered up and thrown into the eternal fire. And then those of us, you know, hopefully all of us watching, who will be gathered up as children of light, and our glorified bodies will be beautiful, and we will shine, and we'll go on to eternity. That sounds so beautiful, but it doesn't sound beautiful for those who are condemned. And the thing is that there's going to be people that are condemned, and you don't want it to be you, right? Jesus also talks about separating the sheep from the goats at the final judgment. He talks about the reality of hell in the story of Lazarus and the rich man. And how when Lazarus goes to heaven, you know, when Lazarus dies, he goes to Sheol. He goes to the land of the dead because heaven hasn't been unlocked yet by Jesus Christ. But he's there with Father Abraham, and, you know, and then there's this great chasm. And when the rich man dies, he's in hell, and he's like crying out to Father Abraham and asking for Lazarus to come and mitigate his suffering. And Abraham's like, "Sorry, there's this great chasm there on purpose. I can't help you if I wanted to. You can't come here if you wanted to. You guys had Moses, you had the word of God, and you didn't listen." Now that's the truth for today. Every single person on this entire world, at least anybody who has the internet, technically has the word of God available to them. And it's only their hardness of heart that keeps them from embracing Jesus Christ. And it's so sad. But it's true that some people just aren't embracing Jesus Christ for whatever reason. And a lot of it has to do with the Father of Lies. The Father of Lies wants us to focus on this world, which is his domain. St. Peter says that Satan is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for people to devour. It doesn't mean he's going to eat people. It means he wants to devour their soul. He wants to help them commit mortal sin so that Jesus Christ dies inside of them. And their grace is gone. And once their grace is gone, they're his for the picking. He can convince them to do all sorts of terrible things. Oh my gosh, I just watched a video by the Vortex on McCarrick, and it's just shocking. It's shocking how deep it goes. It's shocking how bad things have gotten. You know, the infiltration of the church is so demonic. And all those people, all those, these clergy members are listening to the devil. And it's so, so sad. There is two roads. There's a narrow path and there's a broad road. And the broad road leads to destruction. We know this. Jesus Christ himself said it. I'm not saying it. All of this is Jesus. Jesus Christ says, there's not that many people that are going to go down the narrow path. There's way more people that go down this broad, wide path. You know, the broad path is painted with flowers and pleasures and wealth and fame and all sorts of great pleasures. And we focus on the here and now. We're so focused on our next activity, our next sought after comfort, our next way to make money, our next lustful enterprise, our next power play at work, our next striving for worldly possessions. The devil wants us so focused down here. He doesn't want our eyes up to heaven. He doesn't want us thinking about our eternity. He wants us to be so focused on the here and now. And that's how he gets you. That's how he gets you to hell. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't want you in hell or not want you in hell, but he certainly doesn't want you there with Father, with our God the Father, because he, in his pride, fell and he can't stand it. He can't stand it that we get salvation, that some of us get to go up to the level of the seraphim where Satan himself, as Lucifer, sat, and to get to be at the same level as he himself sat before he fell in his pride. Death seems far off for the young and for the ignorant. We think, as long as we keep our body healthy, or I'm so distracted by work, gosh, talk about distractions. They get you so bad, they get you not thinking about hell or eternity at all. But compared to eternity, this lifetime is a blink. You don't know if today is your last day. You don't know if you only have 10 more days. Maybe you do have 50 more years, but how are we living them? No matter what, it's like that. You could be old and on your deathbed and have time for last rites, or you could be suddenly facing your judgment after a quick car accident. Whatever God's will for you to die is how you're going to die. But no matter what, in some manner, we are all separated from our earthly bodies and this temporal world in the process we call death as we move on to our eternal reality, unending eternity. You know, who wants to live forever? I used to want to live forever. When I did not understand eternity and I did not understand heaven and hell and purgatory and all of the further living that we're going to live, that I didn't have that relationship with Jesus Christ, I wanted to live to be forever. I wanted to live to be 100. Now that I love Jesus Christ and Mother Mary, now that I love my brothers and sisters, the saints, I mean, I love everybody on earth, but I am so in love with everybody in heaven. When my time comes, and all I can do is prepare myself through remembering that I am mortal, that this will all go, but that my soul is eternal, and I do not want to end up in hell. When we go to our final judgment, it will not be in front of the merciful judge. I know that some people do say that. They're like, oh, Jesus is so merciful. We're in the year of mercy, St. Faustina. Yes, but mercy is for the here and now. And yes, Jesus is outside of time. He can do whatever he wants on this other side of death. And I totally give him that power because that's just who Jesus Christ and God is. Like, they're all powerful. I'm nothing. But Jesus had just as much to say about how now is the time of mercy. Now, while we're here, this is why he gave us the sacrament of confession. This is why he gave us our mother church. This is why he gave us the holy sacrifices, the Mass and the Eucharist. This is why he gave us adoration. This is why he gave us instructions through his church on virtues and vices and everything. And we have the saints. That is all out of mercy. But when we die, we must face Jesus Christ. He will be up on a throne, and he will judge us. He will say, what did you do? Did you feed me? Did you clothe me? Did you care for me? Did you do your acts of work mercy? Did you do your spiritual acts of mercy and your corporal acts of mercy? Did you do those? Or did you focus so much on yourself? Did you sit down every night and watch a friend's marathon instead of reaching out to a friend who needed you? Did you spend every Sunday at the football game and ignore your obligation to keep holy the Lord's Day, which includes going to the sacrifice of the Mass? That sacrifice of the Mass is not for you, it's for God. It is out of justice that we go to the sacrifice of the Mass. At our judgment, Mary will be there. Did you seek her guidance and grace during life? Did you consecrate yourself to Jesus through Mary? Mother Mary is willing to help you on this journey. She wants all of you to come running towards Christ, to embrace him in your arms, and to love him above all things. And Satan will be there. He'll be at your final judgment, the great accuser, and he will accuse you of all the ways you chose to turn your back on him. That is why when I go to confession, I say I accuse myself of the following sins, because I want to accuse myself here and now while I have time. I don't want Satan standing there being able to accuse me of anything when I stand before my Lord and my Savior. Jesus will not send you to hell. You will send yourself to hell by your actions and inactions. We have the game plan. We have the blueprint on how to live our lives. Sacred Scripture and Holy Tradition both give us those. Jesus left us a church to guide us, to tell us what is right and wrong, to tell us what is turning towards Christ and what is turning against Christ. And if you are a cafeteria Catholic, if you are someone who's saying, I support gay rights, or I use contraception, whatever, Jesus will forgive me. No. We have a church. We have 2,000 years of what is right and wrong. I would not presume that Jesus will just forgive you because you wanted to do your will. I highly, highly suggest that you look up why the church has made the claims that it has on what is moral and what is immoral, because the church has an answer for everything. And you are walking down that broad path if you choose your pleasure, power, fame, money, instead of what Jesus Christ told you to do, what God has laid out from the beginning for man and woman. It's right there in Genesis. Being a good person is not enough. Jesus never said just be a good person. First of all, outside of religion, how are you even defining what is a good person? Relativism is not Christianity. And relativism is not what Jesus Christ came to give. You do you is never in the Bible. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We should all want to get to the Father. That's what we do. If we get to heaven, we get to worship God forever in his beatific vision. That is the most incredible way to spend eternity that I can ever imagine. It fills my heart with joy to think about heaven and eternity. But I know that I could lose my salvation today, tomorrow. It just takes one act of turning deliberately away from God to crush his heart inside me, to crucify him inside my heart, and to lose all grace. That is why you have to go to confession. If you're struggling with any kind of carnal sin, if you are somehow doing something that you know is wrong, if you're stealing, oh my goodness, like don't steal. If you are lying, if you're gossiping, whatever it is, go to confession, ask for forgiveness, make amends, do your penance, let everybody, including Jesus Christ, know that you are done. Let's talk about confession for a second. The traditional act of contrition, the one all of us should learn, starts out with, oh my God, I am heartily sorry for having offended thee. And I detest all my sins, detest them, because I dread the loss of heaven and the pains of hell. But most of all, because they offend thee, my God, who is all good and deserving of all my love. Can you pray that prayer? Do you understand that first beginning, that fear of hell, that's an okay place to start? But we have to get past that fear. We have to get to a place where we're not only doing something out of fear, like the child who doesn't steal the cookie because he doesn't want to get spanked, but rather moves on to not stealing the cookie because he loves his mother and he knows his mother made those cookies for a special occasion and that he respects his mother enough to do what she's asked him to do and not have a cookie. In order to be saved, we have to know God, love God, and serve God. It's right there in the Baltimore Catechism. It's right there. It's been there for years. We must work to know God through reading our Bible, through studying the early church fathers, to understanding the saints, especially the doctors of the church. Knowing God comes from understanding the fullness of truth that he left in the hands of the church, and he left with Peter when he gave Peter the keys. We must love God. How do we love God? We pray to him. How do you get to know and love anybody? You spend time with them. Pray to God. It's not boring. It's not a waste of time. You don't even get to do this if you go to purgatory. You certainly don't get to do this if you go to hell. You should develop a love for prayer, a love for conversing with God. Force yourself. Ask Mother Mary to help. You will get there, and we must serve God. Serving God comes when we do his will and not ours. We must die to ourselves. No amount of money, no amount of power, no amount of fame, and no amount of pleasure, which I think in these days is the worst because people just seek after, like animals, what can I eat next that tastes good? What can I drink next that tastes good? What can I watch that's going to entertain me? What can I recreate in order, including sex, in order to make me feel good for this moment with no thoughts on eternity, no thoughts on what sin is, especially pornography. It's just, I want to feel good in this moment, so I'm going to feel good in this moment. The people that binge TV shows, talk about wasting your life. I'm not saying you can't watch TV, but to sit there for hours and hours and watch all this television and let, this could be your very last day on earth. And Jesus is going to come to you and say, how did you spend your last day on earth? And you're going to say, well, I watched a Friends marathon, or I watched a 24 marathon, or whatever people are watching these days, you know. It's so ludicrous, but it's so true that this is what people do. We have to get our minds right and our hearts right. Use your logic and reason that God gave you to understand the realities of what is going on. We can't ignore eternity. It's looming there. It's one car accident away. It's one cancer diagnosis away. It's an illness or it's an accident that's going to get you there. And we are all corporal beings. Our bodies are dying the minute that they are born. You cannot outrun death. You cannot out-eat death, out-exercise death. It's going to happen. We must root out vices and develop virtue in order to reach that place in heaven that is purely set out for us. I'm going to do a video next week on that, on how to develop your virtues and vices, how to establish a rule of life for you so that you are constantly not only saying, okay, I have a porn addiction, but saying what is the vice or virtue on the other side? What is chastity? What does chastity look like? How do I develop chastity? Because you can't just say, I'm going to stop looking at porn. That's great. That's rooting out your vice. But you have to develop the virtue on the other side. This is the only way it's really going to work. Hell needs to be thought of. And not because Satan is more powerful than God. Of course not, right? He's a creature like us. But God has let us, through free will, choose our own path. Because he only wants souls in heaven that love him, that want to be there. I certainly want to be there. I hope you want to be there. But so many people have decided that this world and the distractions in it and the pursuit of all the things that take you down that broad road are somehow more important than spending an hour at Mass on Sundays, more important than spending 15 to 20 minutes praying a rosary, more important than taking 10 minutes a day to say, hi, God, thank you. Thank you for all the gifts. More important than spending an hour with a loved one who is lonely or sad or sorrowful. More important than feeding the poor, clothing the naked, visiting the imprisoned, all of the corporal works mercy, which I will put down below. Your life is not your own. It's God's. It's a gift from God. In an instant, if he stopped thinking about you, you would be gone. Not even dust. You would literally just cease to exist. God wills you into existence every day of eternity. but you get to pick where you end up. Each morning, we turn towards God or we turn away from Him. We wake up and we either embrace our cross or we say, not today, God. I'm not feeling it. I'd rather suffer so much here, as much as God wills, than to ever spend a single second away from Him. If you are not in that place of understanding this, I mean, my heart is just burning for Him. If you aren't there, get there. I want all of you to be holier than I am. I'm not even that holy. I just love Christ. And I know there's many out there who do love Jesus Christ just as much or more than I do. We must learn from them. That is why we have our brothers and sisters, the saints, because we must learn from them. So what are you working for? Who are you serving? Are you serving the God of money? Are you serving the God of power or the God of pleasure, the God of fame? These false idols won't get you far on the other side of death. So memento mori, remember your death. It's much closer than you think. And hell, it's for real. Don't forget that. It's not an easy thing to talk about hell, but it is an act of mercy to tell people the truth. Relativism, Marxism, communism, that stuff doesn't work. It wants us to forget about God. It wants us to, it's demonic. Literally, because it wants us to forget about God. It wants us to forget about the possibility of hell and to live in this moment. What can I get right now? What can I get? And everybody who's really pondered knows that money does not buy happiness. A new car, the joy of a new car lasts for a day, maybe a week. A new dress, wear it once and it's all of a sudden it's not new anymore. The only thing that brings true joy is loving God and doing His will every single day. So with that, memento mori.